So a new report came out thanks to Homes for the Brave, and we know that they're going to be up at the state capitol actually next week talking more about our veterans' numbers and really understanding the need to support them, certainly financially. Joining us now, Vince Santilli, who is the CEO and executive director from Homes for the Brave right here in Bridgeport. Hey, Vince, how are you?
Good morning, Melissa, and thanks so much for having us on today.
You're very
great
welcome.
Great way to start today.
Well, I'm glad to have you here in studio. Let's talk about this most recent report that you sent out, and it sounds like a letter to state senators and state representatives. What do you got?
Well, you know, what happened, Melissa, when you have a mission of serving veterans like we do, then everything that really comes over the wire, you've got your antennas up. And in this particular instance, around August of last year, one national survey, so this is not pointed at any particular state or part of the country or anything else, a national survey that ranked all 50 states and how they, quote, you know, care for and respond to veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first one came, so we're thinking, wow, you know, Connecticut, we're a wealthy state, and we're probably going to be pretty high up there.
Yeah.
And then it ranked us 50.
Wait,
so out of
Connecticut,
50 states. So we were like, holy smokes. Well, you know, maybe there's something wrong with the methodology or this or that. But in that particular survey, they used 21 different, metrics. And then
amalgamated them. And we were 50th them. For worst care for veterans?
Yes. And again, you know, these are not all things that are in anybody's control. I mean, some of them are percentage of veterans that live in that state.
Okay, so like a per capita thing.
Number of nonprofits
thing.
That are serving veterans, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So
okay.
If you look at that, you know, there's a lot of different factors that, you know, aren't really, you know, in anybody's control necessarily.
I mean, I've got these reports in front of me, Vince. And the other thing, though, that's troubling is there were two different organizations that did these rankings. So Smile Hub is the one you're referring to where Connecticut
was
50.
Well, that was the first one, Melissa. So
right?
When that one came out and said, oh, okay, you know, maybe there was something there. We were surprised, obviously, and a little bit alarmed.
Yeah.
But then a second one came out from the Lending Tree, which mm-hmm. is a national lender. And again, you know, it may or may not be gospel. We said, okay, let's see
right.
Where
are
that
we, yeah, how
and
far off?
47th in that one.
Oh,
and,
God.
And then, you know, and when you looked at it, I thought, well, you know, maybe there's things, you know, that are regional. And so maybe like all New England states are going to be, you know, ranked pretty low. But in the first one that came out, you know, New Hampshire was 15, Maine 19, Massachusetts 26. So all
oh, wow.
In the
so
middle
we're an
top
outlier
half.
Big time in New England.
You know, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Connecticut actually, you know, pretty much brought up the rear. So,
wow.
You know, that got our antennas up, needless to say. And so then when the second one came out, again, from the Lending Tree, which is a national lender, and again, many factors go into this. Some of them, one of them for the Lending Tree in particular, was affordability. So, you know, how much it costs to carry, if you will, a household or your housing, okay, as a proportion or percentage of your income. So we know Connecticut is incredibly expensive as a housing market,
mm-hmm.
one of the top in the country, if not right near the very top. So that obviously takes Connecticut down a bit on the list. But again, when you look at this and you look at in the Lending Tree one, you know, they looked at different things overall, you know, rating of medical care.
Which one is this one? We have Vince Santilli here, who's the CEO and executive director for Homes for the Brave.
The first one
which
one's
this one?
Is,
yeah.
Is the one, the first one that came out
that's
last August.
That's the Smile Hub?
Smile Hub,
okay,
yeah.
Because when you look at these breakdowns, as you mentioned, there's 21 different elements that they looked at, but some that are really concerning. For example, Connecticut ranked 48th. So best versus worst state, 48th. So 48th worst state when it comes to lowest total VA expenditure per veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I bring that up is because I know we have a lot of federal uncertainty going on right now with finances towards our VA hospitals. I'm curious, Vince, so then what could our state do? As you mentioned, you're going to be going up to the state capitol next week to talk about this. I mean, have to get up there, obviously, before the legislature wraps up in June. But what could they do? What could they, you know, do as far as investment is concerned? And, you know, especially when you see these national reports highlighting the fact that Connecticut is ranked near the bottom and at the bottom in one of them. What could Connecticut
well,
do?
I think, Melissa, it's just, you know, when you look at it, how many, you know, there's a few key points that we look at. Obviously, supporting organizations like ours that serve our men and women that have served all of us and protected mm-hmm. all of us. That's one. Oh, some of the things in Connecticut, there's a big issue going on, and I want to commend our Commissioner of Veterans Affairs, Ron Welch, mm-hmm. Deputy Commissioner Joe Donnell. They're working vigorously on cemetery availability because they're running out of space up in Middletown, the Veterans
right.
Cemetery.
Yep.
And so it's not an easy solution, but we're working to resolve that. And I think that's a big issue for mm-hmm. veterans across the state. Certainly housing for veterans. And, you know, so much more, I think, can be done on the permanent, in the permanent housing arena. At Homes for the Brave, we, you know, primarily we have transitional housing for the men and women that have served our country. And I think there's so much more that can be done. You know, a lot of our men and women, now they're ready to, quote unquote, graduate from our programs. And so our case managers are working vigorously to find housing solutions for them on a permanent level. And
where do they go for that?
It's a tough market.
Yeah.
So I think more that can be done out there. And we'd love to be in a position down the road to be able to do more. But, you know, in many respects, we're fighting for survival at the same time.
Mm. So, it's interesting you bring up the housing, Vince Santelli, again, CEO, executive director at Homes for the Brave, because one of the constant arguments I have with both sides of the aisle is 830G is not being touched, which I think is a real disappointment. It's a real miss. And what's interesting is there's bipartisan support over the fact that 830G is archaic and that the model in 2025 just doesn't work. But it's not being touched. It's not being touched. As far as right now, the legislative session is not going to result in any changes to 830G, which does directly impact things like housing for veterans. And so I'm wondering if, you know, when you take this list like you have in front of me here, housing for veterans, is there a call to maybe go back to the drawing board and try again and figure out if we can actually create more affordable housing options, which would also, you know, maybe change the minds of towns and cities that are trying to, you know, have moratoriums, like a Fairfield, for example, that has a moratorium in place. Now they will not accept any new 830G projects for 4 years. That's right next door to you in Bridgeport, where Homes for the Brave is. So I don't know if that's something when you look at this list, what would be your biggest, I guess, call to action for lawmakers that could happen by the time they get to June?
Well, the one we haven't mentioned yet, and I'll get to that question in a moment, but is treatment of veterans in the Connecticut court system. Again, we have many of our veterans that we serve at Homes for the Brave have been criminally, have been involved in the criminal justice system. We'll just put it that way. And so a lot of times, you know, could they be treated much better? And that's an issue even Allison and her amazing team at the CVLC, Connecticut Veterans Legal Center, you know, they're working vigorously on all those kinds of issues. And they have attorneys that work from across the state that work pro bono on behalf of our veterans on a myriad of issues. So getting back to the how, I mean, so much of that stems from the old not in my backyard syndrome. You know, so, oh, this project would be a great idea, just not around the corner from my house, you know, and I think that's a tough one. Mm-hmm. That's a tough one. And I think some of our legislators are very much forward thinking on that. But I think there's just a lot of work to do up at the state capitol on that. Obviously, from our perspective, to answer your next question was, okay, which one is most important to us? Well, in a scenario where we are just fighting to continue to serve our veterans at a world-class level, we just put, you know, an incredible addition and renovation, and we put an elevator in our building, and we're just trying to finish. We still have rooms in the basement that we haven't finished. We haven't even had a grand reopening yet because, you know, it's tight. Finances are tight. Mm-hmm. So when you look at that, you know, the state of Connecticut was incredible as far as supporting that project. Okay, Governor Lamont, $1.5 million went in to get that elevator in the building, which we so desperately needed. And but, you know, on the operating level, I mean, it's a fight. And I was on with you back in January after having the press conference with Senator Blumenthal in New Haven when, okay, the grant and per diem rate, the national rate, okay, legislation was changed. The Elizabeth Dole Act, okay, was signed by President Biden on January 3rd. That's still, guess what? Nothing has happened on that.
Wow.
So we are still struggling under the weight of a much lower grant and per diem rate than we have, than has been signed into law. So nothing has been done by the VA since then.
Wow.
Okay, nobody's fault, but they're losing people. And then I think things are being stonewalled on the federal level. And that's costing us on an annual basis. That's hundreds of that. That's close to $300,000 for us as far as operating. And obviously, we see what's happening with utilities, with everything,
sure.
All our costs.
Yeah, no, nothing is simple. It's certainly very complicated. And Vince, do me a favor and let me know how things go when you go up to the Capitol, because I would like to know what the response is from, you know, certainly both sides, and see if there's any movement, certainly before things wrap up in June. I'd really appreciate any update with this. Would be great.
Right. Well, we're going to know when the state, when the fiscal year 26 budget comes out by the end of the session, which we should know in June.
Right.
So on Wednesday, it's Nonprofit Alliance Day. We're a very active member of our Connecticut Alliance for Nonprofits. And so we are on display up there and have let our legislators in this area know that we'll be up there. And again, so many of them have just wonderful intentions. It's just working through the system.
Yeah. Well, Vince Santilli, again, CEO, Executive Director of Homes for the Brave, thank you for sharing this information from both of these surveys and really outlining the critical need for our veterans here in Connecticut. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Melissa.